Yes, My Car Guru is on the air for this Tuesday morning, and we say good morning to the car guru, Lenny Lawson. Been a few days since we talked. Lenny, how you been doing?
Been doing good. Went to Cincinnati to go visit my grandson and pulled my 34-foot camper up the interstate. Mm-hmm. So that was thrilling.
Yeah, I bet.
I decided to stay off the interstate as much as possible. I went through Middlesboro, Kentucky, and up through Morristown and the Cumberland Gap, and went that way.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad I did, because once I got on the interstate, it's just it's crazy. Of course, I'm pulling a 34-foot travel trailer with an F-150, which it can easily handle. The F-150 has a tow rating of about, I think this one's 13,500 pounds. The camper weighs 7,500 pounds unloaded. So probably, I don't know how much stuff we put in there. Quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Took me a while to load and unload.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just the wind buffeting. If I was going to be traveling a lot with the camper, I wouldn't buy a travel trailer. I would buy a fifth wheel. But the investment, of course, is a lot more. And then if you have a lot of money, then go with a Class C motorhome or just a regular, I guess a Class A, mm-hmm. I think is what it's called, motorhome. But anyway, we did it with the travel trailer, and it was uneventful. I'll tell you what, though, that's probably one of the finest campgrounds that I've ever stayed in. Haven't stayed in a bunch of them, not like these cross-country travelers do, which I met several in this campground that are actually traveling cross country and just doing a route all around the country and mm-hmm. Picking different campsites and stuff to stay as they go along. But this campsite's called Winton Woods. It's part of the great the park system in Hamilton County,
mm-hmm.
Which is just phenomenal up there. And this campground was built basically, the centerpiece of the campground is a beautiful lake. And then the campsites are pretty far apart from one another, so you don't feel like sardines, and lots of neat bike trails and stuff. I was just overwhelmed by it. It's called Winton Woods. Mm-hmm. I'm almost reluctant to tell folks because it might make it harder for me to get my own reservation. But it's about 300 miles from here, so don't even attempt it. No, it's just stay away. But it was. That's something that we're definitely going to repeat. Normally when we go up there, we stay in a hotel. And we get a hotel downtown somewhere, and we've probably stayed just about every hotel in downtown Cincinnati, just find one we like. And we like the AC Marriott, which is right beside the baseball stadium. So if you ever go to Cincinnati and you want a nice place to stay, that's a nice one, AC Marriott. But mm-hmm. I think we're going to do camping for a while, Tim.
Well, it's nice. It's as you've talked about before, there's a lot of work to it, but if you kind of get it down to a routine that you're comfortable with and you can handle that, then I think it's very nice. I take it this Winton Woods was north of Cincinnati?
It is. It's probably, I'm going to say, 15 miles due north of downtown Cincinnati.
Okay.
And, you go around 275. Basically, the circles all the way around. It goes into Indiana for about 2 miles and then
right.
pops back in. You go from Kentucky to Indiana to Ohio in about a 5-minute span of time.
Mm-hmm.
But wonderful accommodations. And so this was kind of a decision trip for me. If I did not enjoy this, and if my family did not enjoy it, because it's not all about me, Tim.
Right.
If they really were thrilled with it and I was mediocre about it, then I would have kept it. But anyway, it was a decision to whether I'm going to sell the camper or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not selling.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to use it.
Very good. How many family members went with you?
Oh, just Tara and myself, my wife and myself, and then we picked up Cannon. He lives in Burlington,
right?
Northern Kentucky. So we just we got everything set up on Thursday. And then went to get him Friday morning, and we had a great weekend with him. We went fishing and caught a bunch of bluegills and crappie, and I think that's about all. But we rode bikes, and I asked Cannon, I said, well, what do you think about this versus staying in the hotel? He said, man, I like this. Hmm. We can do so much more stuff, and
right.
It's so much more fun, and there's all kinds of things around you to do. So it was really good. Right before I left, though, I sold a brand-new Nissan Rogue to a good friend of mine and her husband. We used to do youth at our Methodist church where we go to, and she was that was many years ago, and we became really good friends, and she's just become a great customer and friend as well. Mm-hmm. And she bought a brand new Nissan Rogue, and then while I'm on the trip, she sends me a text message that says that her air conditioning stopped working. And you know, I'm thinking, okay, brand new car. Why would it happen to her? You know, it's just, here I am out of town. I said, okay, I called her and I said, well, just take it to the dealership and leave it. They'll give you a loaner car. She said she doesn't need a car. And she was real pleasant about it. But they got in to go to church and no AC. And you know, very, very unusual for something like that to happen. So several hours later, I get a text from Abby, who's at the dealership and over service department. And Abby said, sent me pictures. And I sent you a picture, Tim. What does that look like? It looks like, you said crossed wires was your first response, but you can definitely see. It's mm-hmm. a mess, isn't it, Tim?
It looks like a wiring issue, a wiring problem, no doubt about it. Some kind of mm-hmm. something that's happened, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, a few days earlier, she had gone to a outing with another youth group to a farm, and she had parked in a field. And because the car was warm, rodents like to be in warm places, and it just so happens that rodents are drawn to car wire insulation because it's made of soy, peanut oil, rice husks, and various plant-based materials.
Hmm.
So you can, if you get really hungry, I guess you can eat your wires. Also, the insulation can produce a faint vanilla aroma when it's warm, which makes car wires appealing and appetizing to rodents to chew on. And that's exactly what happened to her. That's why her air conditioning, I mean, they destroyed her wires. I didn't send you all the pictures, but it was just, thankfully, it was just in one section. And just basically affected just the air conditioning. I mean, if they had been in there for a long time, we would have had to replace the entire wiring harness. We were able to patch this together in a very safe way that she won't have any more issues.
Mm-hmm.
But folks, you know, this is a very common thing. You know, rats, mice, other rodents, they're basically driven to find any place to survive.
Mm-hmm.
A car's engine bay is a dark, warm, and secluded place, and when you park in a field full of field mice, you run into issues like that. So how do you prevent that from happening? Well, we'll talk about that right after the break.
As we're back here on a Tuesday morning edition of My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson, we're talking about rats or mice eating wires in cars and even new cars. And it begs a question for me, Lenny. You talked about what they're made of, a soy-based and plant-based and all that. Begs a question for me. I wonder if there's any way, if this becomes a major, major problem, if they can make it out of something else.
Well, I mean, it's all in the effort to, you know, eliminate a waste. You know, they talk about this huge a dump that floats around in the Pacific Ocean that's full of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want anything that goes into a vehicle to be recyclable or biodegradable. And so, of course, copper wire is recyclable. If the insulation on the wires is biodegradable, then, you know, that helps the environment. So that's what has been going on here. You know, there's a field that's real close to Terranine, and normally they just grow hay, basically, and mow it for cattle and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll switch to corn. This time they've switched to soybeans. And you know, you think about, I mean, what possible vegetable could be more used than soybeans?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is to think that you can make wiring insulation. You know, it's not the wiring itself, just the insulation. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what was amazing to me is those wires were surrounded by a what looked like a plastic cake, in that they were encased in plastic. Mm-hmm. Well, that plastic was soy-based as well, and they ate right through that just to get to the wires.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do you do? I mean, I guess people who live on farms are kind of used to this kind of a thing, but, you know, pests can take up residence in just about anything, including your car. Mm-hmm. But it's just in recent years that, they've started using these, you know, plant-based products to, you know, make wiring insulation and stuff. So anyway, this may be a new phenomenon. I don't know. They say some of the recommendations from fixauto.com is a website that I consult sometimes, but obviously set rat traps around your car. You can also, they recommend that you put them on top of your car wheels because that's where the rodents climb to get access to the engine bay.
Right.
You know, of course, you don't want to forget to take them off, but if your car's in storage, you know, I mean, this is a car that she drove to work the day before.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, the next morning they went to that event where she parked in a field. The next day they went to church, and the car, and air conditioning wouldn't work. So this is something that happened fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. Peppermint oil and pine salt provide strong scents that deter rodents from entering your car. They also won't make your car smell bad. But they don't taste good, and it won't damage any of your wires if you spray these substances on some of your car wires, and it drives the rodents away from your vehicle's engine bay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you just spray it right on the wires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to be careful not to get it on the connections.
Right.
You just want it on the, not where the connections are.
Right.
You know, they recommend you park your car indoors whenever possible. Make sure that there aren't any cracks or holes in your garage. Yeah, that's real hard to accomplish. Remove food from your car. You know, eliminate any fast food scraps, candy wrappers, anything that's going to draw rodents to your car. They say one of the things, just run your car regularly. Start your car regularly, even if you don't drive it often. Rodents frequently search for dark and sheltered environments where they can settle down. By starting your vehicle, rodents may start to notice that your car's engine bay is a loud, dangerous place to be, so they may not want to be there. But, like, as I say, it can happen quickly. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just a new problem and something else to keep us up at night. I wonder if rats are eating my wires right now. You know? It's just not something we want to have to worry about. Tim, I knew this was going to happen. I predicted that there would be some price gouging on the new Ford Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't think it would be the consumers that are doing the price gouging. Recent article shows that, let's see, it was in The Drive. They found a brand new 2021 Bronco First Edition, painted in cyber orange. It has just 99 miles on the odometer. It was purchased by a consumer and then immediately listed it on eBay. And the MSRP on this Ford Bronco is $63,200. So it was a loaded up Ford Bronco. It's about all the equipment you can get on one.
Mm-hmm.
The high bid is already $105,100.
Oh, my goodness.
So it looks like they are going to be able to double their money. And where else is this happening but right here in Tennessee? Can you believe that? I mean, I know that people really want these things. And, you know, some people have deep pockets and they want to be the first to own one. But this thing is in Tennessee and was probably sold at MSRP. The reserve has only just been met. So now the race is on to determine who's going to get this this Bronco. But MSRP was $63,200. And the auction does not end for another 3 days. Ford only built 7,000 of these first edition Broncos. So this is a special package, and, you know, I guess could be considered a collector's item at one time. You know, when you, I think the VIN number on this one, it was the, I think 178th Bronco that was built. So the bidding is on. That's crazy. And they accuse car dealers of ripping people off, right?
Yeah,
charging
really.
Over MSRP. And here you got to, but you know, and what they'll probably do is turn around and order another one and basically pay for it with the profit that they made on this one.
Yep. And maybe do it again. Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know how long this is going to last. Of course, it's going to be a feeding frenzy for a while, and we shall see a lot of this going on probably for the next 90 days or so. Could go longer than that because of the restricted output on these things. Unfortunately, you know, it's not like you can order vehicles and have them immediately show up, and the chip shortage has caused significant pain for a lot of dealers. We're starting to see Ford has made the decision to start shipping some vehicles without chips and then let the dealers install the chips just so that we have something in inventory. Of course, we won't be able to sell it, but at least it will have something on the lot. I'm not sure I like that idea.
Yeah,
I think the factory should go ahead and finish the vehicles and then ship them to us when we can sell them. You know, we don't need to be a parking lot for cars that we can't sell. But that's something that is, you know, not my decision to make. It's way above my head. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'll take them if they're going to send them. But and we certainly wouldn't turn anything down. But, you know, there's going to be a new model that the car industry is really going to start following, Tim. And it's lower inventories and faster turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going to, if they want something, they're going to have to go online and order it or reserve it. The days of going to a car dealership and seeing hundreds and hundreds of vehicles lined up for you to choose from, it's not a real efficient system. And, you know, one of the things that it does is that it creates the need for the manufacturers to create these huge rebates, which cost them a lot of money. You know, if they can sell us an F-150 or a Chevy dealer a Silverado, and, you know, the demand is there, that they don't have to create a $7,000 rebate to sell it, then they make $7,000 more money, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you multiply that by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of vehicles that they sell, it can really enhance the profitability of the manufacturer if they don't overbuild and create all these incentives for dealers to stock too many cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I stock too many cars, my carrying costs are such that it just erodes my profitability. And then, you know, the profitability of the manufacturer is eroded by having to do all these big rebates. And so I think they've figured something out, and it's going to change the way that consumers buy cars. But it's also going to increase the transaction prices. Cars already, the average selling price of a new car just in the last 6 months has gone from $32,000 to just over $40,000 for the average vehicle.
Wow.
So,
mm.
And, you know, they're calling it Bidenflation. You know, they're putting all this on Joe Biden. I don't know that it's all his fault, you know, as far as it's just the way that the economy is recovering. And the shortages that were created because of the pandemic, and it has put everything from a consumer product under pressure. I was trying to buy a Yeti cooler this weekend, and, you know, they're very popular, and I saw a lot of people at the campground, and my cooler just absolutely sucks. I mean, it won't keep stuff cold at all, and the ice melts really fast. So, okay, I'm going to take the plunge. So we went to a Dick's Sporting Goods, and they had none. They're a Yeti dealer, and they said, we can't get them. So they suggested that I call Ace Hardware. I ended up calling three different Ace Hardwares. They were all sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Said, we can't get them.
Mm-hmm.
Found another Dick's Sporting Goods. They were sold out. So I ended up ordering one online, and I ordered it on Saturday. It showed up at the dealership before I even got home from my trip. It showed up yesterday.
Really?
Okay. So, yeah. So the efficiency of the market is going to determine the winners and the losers. And these big, monstrous car lots and parking lots that the factories use to park vehicles, they're probably not going to be necessary in the future. It's also going to cost you more to rent a car, you know, than it did because of the, you know, there just won't be as many cars mm-hmm. to rent. So it's having impacts across the whole spectrum, but hopefully things will settle down over the next year, but it's going to take at least a year, I think, for maybe a little bit longer for all of this pent up demand for automobiles to settle down. But it's just not cars. Like I say, it's campers, coolers. It's just about everything out there, Tim.
Yep.
We'll take our last break and be back in just a minute.
Hey, we're back here for the final moments of My Car Guru on this Tuesday morning.
Tim, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but on all the seat belts in your car, except the driver's seat belt, there is a loop. You ever notice that little loop that's on the seat belt?
I don't know that I have too much, but I'll take your word for it.
It's right beside the buckle.
Okay.
Where it buckles into the, the strap comes around and where the male side of the buckle is. Okay. There's a loop.
Okay.
And, but there's not one on the driver's side. Well, that loop is, called an energy management loop. And it's designed to rip under intense stress. By ripping, it can cushion the blow of a collision by a few inches to help keep the passenger safe.
Mm.
If you're unlucky enough to be in a crash, the loop will rip open, and this gives you a few more inches of seatbelt to work with, dissipating the impact, which stops your seatbelt from ripping and prevents injuries to you as well.
Mm.
Now, on the driver doesn't have one, and the reason is because, the loop basically would give you a little bit more travel. You don't want that on the driver's seat belt. The driver, it's more essential to keep the driver secured because, like, hitting your head on the steering wheel could be fatal.
Right.
The airbag is closer to your chest. There's several different reasons why there's no such loop on the other seat belts and on the driver's seatbelts. So if you were to gain an extra few inches in an accident, it would definitely put the driver at a higher risk of injury. But that's what that loop is. I've seen that loop before for years and said, why is that there? Is that to clip a water bottle too? Or, you know, what's the reason for that? Well, I was looking at it this weekend. I was just sitting there waiting on my gas tank to fill up, and I looked down and I said, I wonder what that loop's there for.
Hmm.
So I decided to find out for myself. Well, that's why it's there, Jim.
Interesting. You get a little bit of everything on My Car Guru, that's for sure.
That's right.
All right. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of My Car Guru, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Lenny.